Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wiehunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wiehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wiehunt, the Barbarian.
America, welcome to the 110th epic episode of the Von Wiehunt Show. So glad you're here tonight with a star date of July the 7th, 2022 AD. Another date that will live in infamy. Lots been going on tonight. Well, where should we begin? Well, first off, if you're a new caller to the show, you get in first in line. I've had many of you who say you want to call in tonight. We've been chatting on Gab and other internet social media sites. And so tonight's your night. You'll dial 563-999-3437. We are always a world at war, as I tell you on each show. The Barbarian is here tonight. General Von Wiehunt has amassed his legions and panzer armies. We are here in strength. I am your Germanic warlord. And never forget, friends, we've spoken this before, that a government takes away guns when it intends someday to cause harm to you and me. Well, in the UK tonight, Boris Johnson has had enough. Now it's British high tea time to assess his future and next move. He has resigned as the UK Prime Minister. We will get into the Highland Park shooter, rest assured. And also tonight, we do mourn the death of a Hollywood icon and legend, James Caan, of the infamous rogue movie, The Godfather. We are all family on the Von Wiehunt Show. We have much to talk about tonight, capiche? And there is much activity in the underground and undertow of America, rest assured. As every, quote, made man has to earn his way through this life, we know this to be true. And tonight, we will have a sit-down and talk about it on Blog Talk Radio at this awesome Thursday night. I love to air the show on Thursday nights because that's about when all the news hits by Wednesday or Thursday afternoon prime time for this show. We are ready for prime time. Gosh, James Caan, The Godfather. Don Corleone, Michael, who took over the Italian mafia empire. Most of us have seen that movie multiple times, but if you haven't, man, are you in for a treat? How America really was in pre-COVID retro America. Great movie, great drama, and true life as to the way it was. Well, people define fireworks in many different ways on July 4th. July 4th was my father's birthday. He was a star-spangled baby. And the men of his era did whatever they could, like in the movie The Godfather, to make it, to get some scratch, so to speak, to run the numbers, to you do what you had to do. Well, my father started out back in the day running numbers from bars to bar when he was a young kid, was paid by a few mafioso guys. You took whatever you could. My dad was born during the Depression. Too young for World War II, though he wanted to fight. But he lied about his age after World War II to get in the U.S. Army Air Corps. And he was 16. And he fudged the numbers on the Army Air Corps application. Basically, that captain came over. He said, "Billy Jean Weehunt, well, I know your family, son. You're a good man. You're a brave man for wanting to fight now in this Cold War era that we find ourselves in. Well, I think you're 18, and I think you'll be a damn good warrior." Wink, wink, nod, nod. Shook my dad's hand like in a Hollywood movie. He said, "Uncle Sam needs you, son. Welcome to the U.S. Army Air Corps. We're glad you're here." And that was that. And that, my friends, is how America was built, brick by brick, warrior by warrior, town by town, city to city, the country grew. Well, that captain knew my dad's family, made sure my dad looked 18 when his application went through a muster process, so more of a scrutiny, if you will. And he passed it along and stamped it. That's unheard of today. But back in the mid to late 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s, as we go through the decades, even 80s, possibly, that's how business was done. Yep, we used to call my dad the Star-Spangled Baby, born on July the 4th. Now, everyone had a good time. I had a good time with some friends. We had some little barbecue, some fireworks. Saw fireworks all over the valley of Phoenix Castell. My God, incredible. Driving home, one fireworks burst after the other. Reminds you of 1776. Reminds you of a good time. What's America celebrating? We're celebrating our birthday, supposedly, but what would the founding fathers say about America's July 4th birthday in 2022 if they went in a time machine? I don't think they'd be very happy at all. You know, we've quoted Benjamin Franklin on my show, and we'll quote him again for you newbies. When he left the Constitutional Congress, the media at that time, and the Washington Beltway, the early, early Washington Beltway media. So, Mr. Franklin, they got attention. What'd you guys guess? What's going on? What have you created? And he turned to them with those spectacles and that long flowing hair, and Ben looked at them eagle-eyed and said, "Well, Mr. Newspaper Man, we gave you a republic if you can keep it." And here we are, and we're barely keeping it alive. But there are a lot of good spots in America. It's not all doom and gloom. I tell a lot of you guys, you can't be Mr. Doom and Gloom 24/7. Remember what the founding fathers always said. You got to be a happy warrior. Outthink, outsmart, outmaneuver the King of England and the British Crown. Outflank them, hit and run tactics. The American patriot, we invented guerrilla warfare, and we're damn good at it. We invented a lot of things that the world uses today. We are the creators, the inventors. And as I talk to you, I talk pretty much just straight from the heart and the mind combined. Well, tonight we might have a VIP guest. We might have, all of you might be a VIP guest tonight on our post-July 4th celebration show. You know, fireworks have been bought and sold in this country for many, many years. And that will continue, hopefully, for a millennia. But the way things are going, there's a lot of cracks and fissures in our society. I've told you before, I would not be surprised if our country breaks apart and balkanizes at some point. Would not be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised even if UK balkanizes and breaks apart. For our UK listeners, and you know what I mean. I've been talking to a few of you all day long about this Boris resignation. And very interesting. They have many shakeups over there across the pond, as they say. Well, tonight, you're all family. We are the Corleone family on the radio airwaves. We're glad you're here in remembrance of Sonny. Oh, yes. Very nice. Very nice. The Godfather theme. Well, we will continue talking about the farm crisis, segue into that in America's Midwest region. Almost all other media outlets have flatly ignored it to their own detriment. Softball hail was again found in southeast Wyoming and parts of Nebraska last night and today. Amazing weather out there, and the crops are being destroyed. The wheat harvest. In our Did You Know series, did you know that our wheat harvest in America could be down 50%? Oh, yes. It's getting very serious out there. Thank God we have millions of tons of grains in those silos. But it's getting a little precarious out there. As many farmers are not sure they want to continue, but keep your eye on that Midwest region. They need some relief with the weather, that's for sure. Well, we all know that there is, well, to back up, there are two parties in America. There's two political parties, right? There's the one in Washington, D.C., and then there's the one for all the rest of us here in flyover country. And that's the way it seems to be going. Now, the governors of Texas, Arizona, and New Mexico, in my view, they need to close their state borders down with Mexico. And you need to get their National Guard to block their borders and use your state troopers checking every truck, car, bus, anything coming into your state. Have you seen these videos, these swarms of migrants, quote unquote, swarming over the Texas border? But, you know, they are bull rushing the border, bum rushing the border guards, overwhelming them by hundreds and thousands of people, and more are coming. They're from many different countries, not just Mexico. Haiti, Venezuela, they've come up, Panama, Honduras, Guatemala, Nicaragua, you name it, they're coming up. Well, Biden, we know, will do absolutely nothing about the American border. This is nothing short of a state of emergency, of invasion. And they have to shut those borders down. If they don't, look, I have warned you for years, we're going to be inundated. This is going to explode in this country. Already, there's a huge crush for natural resources, water, food, things of that nature, clothing in South Texas. Charities are overwhelmed. The border guard is overwhelmed. It's time to militarize the border. It's been time for 20 or 30 freaking years. Every red state needs to stop the invasion. In fact, I would go so far as to allow any citizen virtually to make a citizen's arrest of illegals and turn them into authorities. Put the people to work, because this problem is so big. They wouldn't want me in charge in what I would do. I know exactly what I would do, but I can't sit on the radio. And it's really pretty basic. Look, it's like James Caan in The Godfather. We all want a peaceful, loving world, right? But sometimes, as any good mafioso would tell you, once in a while, you need some well-placed violence to get your point across. And the mafia would do that by, they would pick one person every now and then that, you know, stole from them or really had it coming. And the word gets around on the street like wildfire. Well, the same is for the border. We've got to let the world know that we mean business. Right now, they know we don't mean business. I don't want anyone to get hurt at the border. We're not advocating that or anything of that nature. But at the same time, they have to understand that if they cross a certain line, certain things could and will happen. The mafia always used well-placed violence. We're not advocating violence per se. But I am saying that in a philosophical sense to make people realize that it's at that stage, at that brink of total border disaster, that they have pushed us to that point where now we're having to entertain these ideas because nothing else seems to work. And nothing else is going to work as long as Biden is in the White House. It's kind of like a bully in your school. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You'd sit there and take it. But what you have to do is you have to punch the bully in the face. And you got to knock him down. And when you get him down, you got to beat the hell out of the bully. And the bully will never do it again to you. In fact, what's weird about me is that I had to do that myself a few times. And I'll tell you one thing. When I got them on the ground, I was ruthless. They were bigger than me, but I took them down. And when I did, I knew exactly what to do. And let me tell you, what's the weirdest thing about men and bullies is those guys end up being your best friend through the year. And now they're your bully that you can sick on people if you want to, if you wanted to. Men are like that. We're wired like that. Once they know that you mean business and you're serious, all bets are off, baby. And right now the world knows that our border, that nothing will happen. No one's going to shoot at them. No one's going to whip them. My God, if you do, you'll have a complete Justice Department investigation and a hate crime levied against you on the border. It's ridiculous. But we have no checks and balances at our border. It is a crisis. So I've told you before to arm up, get ready, get prepared. There's so many things that are brewing in the undertow and underground of America politically and socially and border-wise, immigrant-wise. We cannot absorb everybody's trash, everybody's refuse. America cannot absorb millions and millions and millions of people. Already the West is in drought. I've told you before that the average person needs minimum 15 gallons, 220 actually, of pure water per day just to live and eat and bathe. No wonder our lakes are drying up out west. They're sucking us dry. We don't have enough water in the aquifers, many of the reservoirs. They're sucking California dry. All those millions of people got to eat, they got to drink water, and they're going to clog up your highways with no auto insurance. This is the reality that we find ourselves in today in 2022. Unfortunately, it's not like the, you know, the utopia of the 1960s when everybody could just come in, hold hands, sing kumbaya. We'd all like to live in a kumbaya state in some way, form or fashion, but that's not reality today. They've taken a good thing, like all the Democrats do, and they have destroyed it. They're wonderful at doing that. And then they move to other states, and they take their ideology with them, and then like biblical locusts, they then destroy those states and bring in all their liberal Democrat ideals. And they are moving everywhere. Now, there are a lot of good patriots out in California, too. I know so because I have friends out there, and they call the show. But they're being outnumbered. That's the problem. And in California, the Democrats get the press over and over again. Well, keep your eye on that border, and just you're going to have to get prepared, America. All of us who live in these border states especially. But like I tell people, don't think you're safe if you're in Montana or Idaho or the Midwest or the East Coast. Every state in America is really a border state because they spread like wildfire all over the country. So pretty crazy. Even watching this, some of the news that's been out there. Well, we had another mass shooting, of course, in Highland Park, and I predicted that we would, as it's about time for one. Hate to say it, but there's always some lone nut out there. This time in Highland Park, Chicago. Some say a false flag. I just think it's one of those deranged kids that, but it is convenient in my suspicious mind how it happened on July the 4th. And coincidence, I don't know. This guy has been all over the news, Cremo. You know, he dressed like a woman. He's a leftist Democrat crossdresser. The first reports of this idiot is that he had ties to the far right in Europe, of all places. All bogus BS. He's a leftist Democrat crossdresser, gay guy, lived in daddy's basement, didn't have a job, and you know, one could say that the political elites, that they have to keep pushing for more and more gun control and their future planned police state. They have to scare the people more and more to usher in this new level of control over the population and electorate. They won't even let us have a frickin' parade anymore. Just something else that they have once again taken from us.
Von Wehunt speaks truth to power. Von Wehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. No excuses for putting America first. Von Wehunt, the Barbarian. Thursday at 8 p.m. The Von Wehhunt Show. Conversation and analysis of breaking news, geopolitical events, politics, history, and some fun, too. Von Wehhunt is an astute observer of the human condition. Von Wehhunt will cut through the political correctness and speak bluntly about the social, political, and economic demise taking place in America and around the world. Von Wehhunt is a nationalist who, without shame, puts America first. Von Wehhunt, the Barbarian. Thursday at 8 p.m.
That's right. And while all that's going on, Bill Gates is buying up more and more farmland. Why, America? Bill Gates is not a doctor, not a scientist, and we know damn well he is not a farmer. Something very nefarious and evil is going on whenever his name is associated with it nowadays. Is billionaire Bill Gates trying to starve us out, America? You know, I can't buy a hospital. I don't have a medical license, but Bill Gates can become a farmer. What's wrong with that picture? Now, Alex Jones, in some humorous tweet or quote this past week, said, and I believe he's onto something here, that aliens want to make humans into cyborg slaves of Satan. Now, for the record, I totally back up Alex Jones on this claim, and we all know that the aliens are just really evil bastards from outer space. Know that to be true. A man wrote the show, and he said this. Von Wehhunt, love the show. Love the Alex Jones show as well. Sure, he said, there are callers or people out there in America that may be from another dimension, or they could be a demon, for instance, or maybe even an alien. God knows. These people take their orders from Satan himself. A spiritual or off-world entity. I, for one, don't buy into the whole notion of life in outer space beyond our planet, but I firmly believe in the spiritual kingdom that is not of this world, and I will fight for anyone's right to believe in what they want. Keep on going with the great show. We love it. Signed, Captain Kirk. Okay, Captain. Interesting mail I get every week. Well, we've been conditioned to think that only politicians can solve our problems in America. But at some point, maybe we will wake up. One day we will recognize that it was the politicians who created our problems in the first place. Happy July 4th, America. There is a time in history to take action, I always say. There is a time to fight fire with ever more fire. This country was born in revolution and the blood of our ancestors. May we never forget them in the spirit of 1776. But I hate to say it, at the same time, the World War II vets largely have fought and sacrificed for, in some ways, nothing. Sad to say, with how the politicians have ruined the Western nations after the so-called Great War, and they tossed their deaths and sacrifices to the winds of time and in the trash, but their militant demographic and globalist agenda, which is very obvious for all to see. Well, there's much tyranny with our UK listeners and friends across the pond. Never forget Britain. Now, over there, they have many tyrannical COVID laws and things that are still going on. They fought World War II for supposedly more freedom and liberty. But Hitler said during the war, he had a quote about Great Britain. He said, now, if we're defeated, the beast will be at your doorstep. And it won't be Germany this time. It'll be your own people. And Patton was right. We fought the wrong enemy. And near Churchill in Great Britain later said that you even slaughtered the wrong pig. Amazing quotes. Amazing night. We will get a lot of calls on tonight. Stay tuned, folks. Strap in. Get that helmet on. It's time to start the show. To the show here. Everyone's got had time to get a cocktail or your adult beverage. Well, we hope everyone had a great and a fantastic July 4th holiday, America. Just remember that the holiday you're celebrating only exists because real people were armed to fight against the King of England and the British Empire, the superpower of its day. And we won it all. And we just might have to do it again. Now, with that, let's get to the phones. We got a phone here. Well, you're live on the Von Wien Show. What's your name?
Hello, Von. This is the MFT.
Hey, man. How you doing? Well, I call you EMP for short. You're in Louisiana, right?
Yep.
EMP, what's going on, my friend?
Let's expand on your bully theory here, which is basically a fact, but here's the deal. Think about this. Democrats, liberals do not handle bullies well, and we have history on our side we have the facts on our side from history to tell you this. Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, and now, of course, Mr. Mashed Potato Brains that's in the White House right now, right? They don't handle bullies well. I mean, Reagan handled Gaddafi really well. The bombing starts in 5 minutes, you know, that type of stuff. And look at how Trump handled Putin and Xi and of course Kim Jong Un. You know, they're all bullies to some extent, and he handled them really well. Oh, they may say, well, he's a bully himself, but sometimes it takes a bully to handle a bully, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, every guy knows that sometimes you might run across a bully. And my dad used to tell me as a young buck coming up, he would say, son, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And boy, I found that to be very, very true. They'll come down and then you can wallop on their ass. You know, I mean, look, it's a jungle out there. And the bigger animal doesn't always win. It's the one who's the most clever, the most ruthless, maneuver faster. And that animal typically does win. So if you're ever a young guy, we have a lot of young guys that love the show. You're in junior high or high school. Some big guy's coming after you. Find your angle and work it, man. It's the best I can say. You know, avoid a fight if you can. Because these days the schools freak out over fights. Now, when I was coming up, my teachers were like, you know, ex-military guys, ex-Vietnam vets, hardcore. They were messing around, and they liked a little jocularity, a little fight every now and then, right? These young, you know, these soy boy teachers of today would wet their pants and cry and go to the principal and say there was a hate crime or, you know, they'll go off on the deep, deep left tangent, man. They'll have you banned from school. They'll have you arrested. I mean, they really go extreme. That's what's sad about the schools today is they are creating, more and more of these leftist, weak, soy boy simps. You know, they're basically just weaklings, man. And,
right.
You know, and that's going to hurt our country in the long run. What do you think?
Right. When I was in elementary school, one of the many elementary schools I was in, it was a public school, of course, almost on any given day behind a certain building, there was a fight. Now, eventually the teachers would find out about it and come and break up the fight, but that wasn't until somebody was either knocked out or the fight was gone for a few minutes, right? And so that's
right.
How we settled. That's how we set in that particular school. That's how things were settled. Take it behind the building and have it out, you know?
Right.
And that's what needs. And think about this. We mentioned in Putin, you know, Putin is a bully, right? What happens?
Mm-hmm.
What happens when there's an opening for a bully? He takes that opening and runs with it. Well, the opening came with the stolen election when they put mashed potato brains in there, and Putin saw him as weak, which he is, and what happened? He invades Ukraine.
That's right. Well, you know, the Ukraine right now is, here's their deal. They've been corrupt for many, many years before the war, right? I mean, we always heard of Ukrainian corruption. I am all for anyone protecting their home against a bully. You know, if I was in Ukraine, I'd grab a machine gun too and fire against those red Soviet bastards, right? They're encroaching on my home. They're bombing my neighborhood. Oh, yeah, it'd be war. Oh, yeah. Thick and thin. If you bring it, no problem. We will match you in spades. And that's what the Ukrainians did. They matched them, and they weren't expecting to be matched on the battlefield. And they were. And they were routed, and they still are being routed. The Russian way, though, is to overwhelm you, pulverize the ground, overwhelm you with shells and mortars from afar, and then slowly inch up with their so-called soldiers. They're really their army conscripts from the heartland of Moscow who do not want to be there. And like in World War II, if they run from the battlefield, the commissar from behind will shoot him in the back. And they'll say your son died in action to your, you know, back to the family in Moscow. So it really sucks for everybody concerned. You know, the Ukrainians don't want to be invaded. A lot of the Russian conscripts don't want to be there. It's Putin's war, and he's going to keep pouring resources into Ukraine forever until he just pulverizes it. He'll bomb the whole damn country. It'll be ash and rubble, and then the Russians will finally declare victory.
Right.
That's how they fight.
Try to declare victory, because it could very well end up like what happened in Afghanistan with Russia. Oh, yeah, it may look like a victory, but what happened? After how many years they had to pull out because the money and everything was just not going their way, you know? And, you know, it could turn out that way as well. So, yeah, but as far as bullying, yeah, he's a bully, and Xi's a bully in China, and so is his little proxy in North Korea. He's a bully, you know? So, yeah, these
the world's full of bullies.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
and that's why I always say we're a world of war. This will never end.
I mean,
this
look.
Will never end.
Look, here's the deal. The Bible says war coming down to the end days, wars and rumors of wars, right?
That's right.
Right? Right. So, yeah, I mean, and we're in wars and rumors. We're in that time, wars and rumors of wars, and that's the thing. We need to understand where we are in history, you know, and we need to get back to the point of where we're a strong nation. And what I'm worried about is not that we don't have our food, is that the machines that we use to till the ground and plant the food and harvest the food, they need what? They need fuel. And what do they run on? They run on diesel fuel, right? These tractors and combines.
Right. That's right.
And things of that nature. So what happens when the farmers of America, you make, you know, corporate farms, whatever, all this stuff, I don't care about any farmer. What happens when they don't have fuel to run their machines? The crops don't get planted, and the crops don't get harvested, and we go into a famine.
Yeah. Well, that's why I bring up the farm crisis in the Midwest. A lot of people aren't talking about that. It's not making the news because all, you know, CNN can talk about, MSNBC, are the congressional hearings of January 6th. They're looking backwards constantly and running America into the ground, trying to find all these, you know, they're the most subversive media anyway. So it's funny how the subversive media is trying to find subversives in the country. That's kind of ironic. But, and then you've got other media portals that are not really talking about it. And so we have a crop that's being devastated. Let's hope that they can salvage some things in the fall. I know in the fall, the farmers were saying they'll have corn and soybeans to produce. But if you're a prepper, and if you're listening to this show, I know you're out there. We have a lot of preppers and people that, you know, of varying lengths. You need to be getting prepared because I tell people for years that you need to begin to prepare because there's no guarantee of the weather. There's no guarantee of stable government in our country or the UK, like what happened in the UK this day. You know, I mean, these things can happen very, very quickly. I always say things can be built up. It takes years to build things up, but they come down real fast. So just keep that in mind, you know. EMP, what are your final thoughts to America? I haven't talked to you in a while, man, so it's good to hear your voice. The floor is yours, sir. Go for it.
Well, my final thoughts for America is this. It's going to take a revolution to get rid of this shit, you know, to get rid of it. It's going to take... You know, it may take us a divorce to get the point across that we don't want this crap. We don't want, you know, what's his name from the World Economic Forum and to set our policies. We don't want the WHO to set our policies. We don't want any of this stuff. And that's what the liberals, you know, don't understand. When I say liberal, I'm not just talking about either the group with that are, you know, Pelosi and Schumer and all these other. I'm talking about people like McConnell. You know, there are liberals on both sides of the aisle in Washington. All right, and so
that's right.
You know, there are liberals on both sides of the aisle, and that's who I'm talking about. I'm talking about these guys that are all for, you know, the WHO and, you know, the World Economic Forum and all these other little things, the Bilderbergs and all these other things that they're all for, and they know that they can't say they're all for them because that would be bad for them because the majority of the American people aren't, right?
Right, so, right, exactly.
That's it. And you're right. If Washington and Adams and the rest of them were here, were alive, well, they'd be old, but if they were alive, they would be going after this government here like they went after King George.
They would look around in disbelief and go, you made it this far, but you're not quite what we had in mind. And what the hell happened to you along the frickin' way is what I would say if I came back in a time machine, if I was one of the failing flaws. What the hell did you do to our lovely, most awesome, brilliant republic? What the F did you do to it? You contorted it. You subverted it. You have gutted it like a fish. You put it out. You just fried it up, and you got nothing left. You have totally destroyed it.
Right.
So congratulations, America. Good job. Now you made your bed. You have to lie in it. And let's see what happens next. What shoe will drop next? Because you went so far freaking astray of what we set up for you. We told you to avoid foreign entanglements. We told you, you can be a superpower. You don't have to fight everyone's war. It's okay to be strong. It's okay to be engaged. And what about this foreign aid? What are you guys smoking up there? What crack are you smoking? They're smoking Hunter Biden's crack. I mean, it's so bad. The billions that we just waste all over the place, man. Crazy, you know.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. Now, granted, I mean, look, I'm all for, you know, if we were supposed to give Ukraine weapons, fine. You know, we got to live up to what we say we're going to do, right? If we were supposed to give them weapons, give them the weapons. Give them the planes, give them the weapons, whatever. If we were supposed to do that, then by God, you got to live up to your deals You got, if it's a handshake deal, handshake deals are supposed to mean something, then by God, do it, right? I mean, that's what I'm all
That's
about.
Right. Either do it or don't. But don't promise everybody everything in the world either. That's all. That's all I'm saying. We can't afford it anymore. See, that's my thing. We got $30 trillion in counting debt. We can't be going down this road of giving everything away, man. And, in fact, the stockpiles of our weapons that have gone to Ukraine have severely put us in jeopardy. You know how many years it takes to build that stuff up, EMP? Years.
Yep.
Many years.
Yep.
Several years.
I mean, look.
We build our military stockpile.
What happened in World War II was an anomaly. After the bullying action of Pearl Harbor, it only took us a year or so to get up to speed where we were cranking on all cylinders and cranking out ammo and guns and all kinds of vehicles and planes and things of that. It only took us a year from December 6, 1941 to December 6, 1942 to get really going, right? But that's an anomaly.
That's right.
It takes longer than that to get everything up to snuff, right?
I agree. EMP, I want to thank you for calling the show again tonight, man. We'll talk some more, okay?
Gotcha.
Thank you so much, man. EMP, folks, from Louisiana. Great call. A lot of good points there. Well, we have a few promos here, and when we get back, I can't wait to hear from the Gunslinger, who's coming up next among many others. Stay tuned.
Well, I am astounded by this.
What are you talking about, sir?
This paperwork by Nikola Tesla. This is amazing when it comes to energy and the source of energy and how it can be utilized for the people, for the common good.
But you're planning to bring this out and publish it?
I'm planning to share it with the people. I think this would be one of the most amazing things if it would be brought out. You know what I need to do?
What is that?
I need to contact Donald Trump, that young fellow who's in New York who is the real estate mogul. I'm friends with his uncle, and I have talked about quite a few things with his uncle, and I think his uncle is a very sharp man.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, that's a fact. So get him on the phone, and I'm going to have a conversation with this young Donald Trump and share a few things with him that he needs to know.
All right, I'll dial the phone right now. That's not a problem. You said Donald Trump, correct?
That's right, Donald the man Trump. That's the character, the Donald himself.
Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to sit down and listen to the Von Wehunt Show each Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That Enigma code, again, is blogtalkradio.com, where geopolitics, current events, breaking news, history, and brilliant conjecture and callers will always be a part of the show. So don't be left outside in the cold. This is your secret agent invitation for what awaits you. So come into the radio octagon and castle on the Rhine, where eagles dare. The Von Wehunt Show. Your mission is to be there to make a better you, to make a stronger neighborhood, and to make America great again. This message will self-destruct in 30 seconds.
Mission Impossible is to save America. And with that, let's get to the Gunslinger in Texas. Gunslinger, welcome to the Von Wehunt Show. How you doing, man?
Pretty warm in Texas.
I heard.
105 degrees today, and it felt like 108, and it's supposed to be like that all the way through Monday. Jesus, it's the hottest summer since 2013. I mean, it's the hottest summer since 2013. Man, I mean, that's that was a brutal one right there. That was a brutal one in 2013.
I heard.
It's getting rain.
You survived, though. You survived it, man.
give Texas the best shot, as the old saying goes, you know.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you what's wrong with this country. Okay, there's a lot of things, but one of the major things is liberal Democrats. Okay, and their failed policies, complete failures, okay, all the way from the top all the way to the bottom. I'll give you a classic example of what's going on in your neck of the woods there, Vaughn. Arizona, New Mexico, parts of Colorado, Nevada, Hoover Dam, okay?
Right.
2 weeks ago, I heard that Hoover Dam, it's got a total of 17 generators, turbines, generators.
Right.
That supply power to the majority of those people, 42 million people, I think it is. They have shut every generator down except five of them, five out of the 17.
Mm-hmm.
And they're only running at 40% capacity, okay? Two weeks ago, that lake is 93 feet from Deadpool. And for people that don't know what Deadpool is, that means no water moves. That means no power.
Right.
Completely. Yeah, everything, Hoover Dam is shut down. Okay? Now,
right.
I just heard today that just right over the hill from Hoover Dam, whatever that city or whatever that area is, they've approved like two or three huge casinos, a 2,000-acre lake, guess where that water's coming from. And on top of that,
right.
2,000 homes surrounding that little resort-type situation.
Right.
Democrat policies, failed policies at work. Where are they going to get the power and where are they going to get the freaking water from? Okay, because Hoover Dam's, that lake is not coming back. We will not see that lake coming back in our lifetime. Okay? Nature is reclaiming the desert. Okay? Try to fight nature. Good luck.
I know, okay. Man.
So they're going to get, it's going to get serious out there. It's going to get bad. Okay? Because I don't know where they're going to pipe in the water. Or the power, for that matter. The grid is already, you know, like a feather, a little few more feathers on the back of the grid, and we're all going to be in the fucking dark. But the idiot in the White House says, oh, power, you know, these electric cars, all this stuff, yeah, buy electric. Yeah, where are you going to charge it, huh? That's right. Where are you going to charge them? Yeah.
Those electric cars don't run on air, man. You know, here's the thing. There's millions of people that live out west. I should know. I live out here, as you all know.
Yeah.
So we have millions of people that live west of the Rocky Mountains, right? And the thing is I thought by – well, here's my point. We waste money all over the world. We need more infrastructure projects in our country. I don't know why, for all this time, why to feed the west – water, why there isn't an Alaskan pipeline from Alaska or Montana or somewhere where you get a lot of snowpack, you know, and bring it down to Nevada and California. And Arizona, we're sitting pretty. We're pretty good. We're not perfect, but our water rights are pretty strong. I think we out-negotiated all of these states. But we have to watch it, too. But there's no rationing going on, anything crazy. But my point is twofold. Why don't we have a water pipeline coming to the west where about 30 million Americans live instead of giving all of our wealth to Ukraine or Israel or China? You know, I mean, we are just killing ourselves. At the same time, what's going to compound the issue, Gunslinger, is we're bringing in millions and millions of immigrants and migrants, you know, who are giving us all these tearful stories at the border. We're letting them in, and they're sucking up our water, too. So it's twofold, threefold. So, one, there's lack of rain and snowpack in some places. Two, too many people that don't belong here. We have enough real Americans, citizens, put it that way, that are here. They came over legally, they were born here, etc. We have too many legal immigrants and illegal immigrants that have come in that they've let in the last, say, decade for sure. It's been going on for 20, 30, 40 years, but we can't absorb the whole frickin' world now. And that's my point. There's no, all these lakes in Utah, in California, especially in the South, are, I had a friend of mine that just came back from Big Bear Lake. He said, I called Big Bear Pond as he was driving back. He goes, that water was really big. It was a humongous lake back just 10, 15 years ago. They're sucking it dry, literally. That these people that come here have got to drink. Even I heard in Texas, where you live, Border Patrol ran out of water. They had to go buy a bunch of bottled water, thousands of bottles at, you know, from your hard-earned taxpayer dollars to give to illegal migrants crossing over. Why? Because they don't want dead bodies in South Texas. It's bad optics, they say, for the evening news. They don't want them to die of dehydration on the American side. Because then our government's going to have to pay for the funeral and pay for the family. I mean, it's just a crazy. It's just a the rabbit hole runs deep. But it's you're right. It's very, very bad, Gensling. It's where we're at.
Well, like I said, it's going to get worse because they're giving all this stuff away, all this other to these other third world assholes, you know. And when you go back to the Hoover Dam, you know, there's two dams. There's Lake Mead and there's Lake the other one or whatever it was. And there's hydroelectric plants on both of the Hoover Dam and the other one. Well, like I said, these things are down to five generators now because, and you can't build more reservoirs. This is the problem, okay? If you don't have enough snow melt way up there in the mountains, you could have 1,000 reservoirs. It doesn't matter. If the reservoirs don't fill up with the water, okay, from the snow melt, okay, imagine that. What you got here and what's occurring, even before the water goes to a point where they have to shut the generators, the remaining generators down, is a little term called calvation. I don't know if you ever heard of that, but it's an engineering term.
Uh-huh.
What's going on right now, the turbines in Hoover Dam are being damaged because of the low water, because there's not enough pressure from the water flowing through those turbines, and the turbines are physically being etched like sandpaper instead of, you know what sandblasting is, okay? It's the same thing, only using water bubbles. These things are actually being et up, okay, because of calvation, okay? And what's going to happen when the things are auto shut down because of damage? And like I said, the water's not coming back. Where are they going to get this water from? It's not coming back in our lifetime. Okay? So that means Hoover Dam is going to be a big old paperweight. Okay? Because it's not going to be able to fill enough to fully, you know, utilize 17 water turbines. It's impossible. Not this century. Nope. Not as low as this thing is. And I even seen today early that the one guy was out there demonstrating out there and see what's seeing the dangerous low levels that there was an old World War II boat that they used to patrol Lake Mead there, okay, years ago, and the thing sunk, okay? He walked out there, and he was standing only 20 feet from it, and he said, there was 184 feet of water above me 2 years ago.
Right.
184 feet of water above his head 2 years ago.
God.
Do the imagination. Use your imagination. Okay, and at that rate, that place is going to be a damn creek within a year. I'm going to say that the Colorado River is going to be a creek, a little bitty creek, within a year. What do you think about that one? Yeah. Wow.
I think it could definitely happen. I mean, look, it's getting very serious. I mean, you'd think with all the corporate interests in Vegas and mafia interests there, let's face facts, that town still has, you know, it's mob controlled in many, many places there in the gaming industry, and they can't fool me. But my point is they need them there to kind of keep order, too, in that town, if you know what I mean. My thing is, you'd think with all the money flowing through Vegas that some bright, brilliant guy would say, hey, man, we got to get, you know, Lake Mead filled up. And they should have been doing this or lobbying Congress. We have money for everything else. We don't have money for our own country. Are they really going to let the West dry up and lose trillions of dollars of wealth? Is that really the plan? Well, that's what's going to happen at some point where if it gets really to, you know, dire straits. Now, and it's not just the West. There's water problems in the Midwest, in the South, in the East, everywhere. Everywhere, not just Lake Mead, Nevada. I've heard of horror stories in Florida, all over the place. Portable clean water is going to be liquid gold in the future. It really is.
Yep.
That's why in my stronghold, I've got Buku pure water here just stashed everywhere. I tell people, don't forget, we live in a high desert, but it's still a desert. And Phoenix has always had lots of water. They water their lawns here, wash their cars. We're worse than L.A. Never had a problem. I've been here for almost 30 years. Never had a problem with water here. Never rationed once, okay, in 28 years that I've been here personally. And we've known people that have lived here for 50 years. They never rationed water here because Arizona gets the lion's share of the water for the most part. You know, they do real, real, real well. But at the same time, it's not a resource that will last forever. And that's where you would just think, again, for Las Vegas especially, with all the billions flowing through there, you would think those guys would have got together by now and said, hey, we got to fund something or get something going. But look, if they don't, they don't. It's on them. But, you know, Las Vegas is a major tourist destination in America. I mean, we don't want that to be a wasteland. It's far from it, but still, I agree with you. They need to be doing something here soon because, you know, there's only so much water. And I always say immigration has exacerbated the problem to the point of crisis. We cannot absorb millions. The first reason why they're coming over here, you know, in philosophical terms, is for what's called resources. We don't have resources to share with the world. We don't. We just don't. We have just enough really for us and to keep us going strong. We cannot feed and quench the world's thirst out of America's lakes and rivers. Can't. Sorry. Can't do it. Too many people, you know? And you can't quench that thirst of the third world anyway. And they specifically say, we're coming over to America for food, jobs, water, and resources, money, everything else. We cannot take in the whole world, man. And that's exacerbating our problems massively. Gunslinger, thanks so much for calling the show, big guy. I appreciate right, you, man.
Have a great night.
Right. You know it. So, you know, get your adult beverage. Get a beer. Be happy, America. Relax. Just kidding. It's not as bad as they say it is. Well, maybe it is. It could sound like this in your town soon. Hopefully not.
All right, folks. Calm down. Go about your business. These jokers will be gone soon. Now, why y'all want to come into my town and start trouble? Scare all these nice people? You ain't got nothing better to do than to come into Bill Sharp's town and show your ass.
And that, my friends, is how the West was won. We all know that to be true. Well, if you just tuned in, this is the infamous, rogue, and legendary Von the Weekend Show. We have an active chat room tonight. We've got gunslingers in there. Lincoln, Catwoman, EMP, a team of voices named Hatter. Others have come in from time to time through various shows. But we've never had Conan the Barbarian.
This is Arnold, and I'm saying I've played the Barbarian before. He's the real one playing in the radio right now. He's playing for you, playing for everybody who's listening. not only in the United States of America, but around countries all over the world. I like to do it after eating something, grab me some food, and then I sit down and I listen to what's going on. And I say, yes, get him, Barbarian, get him. Let them know. You tune in to the Barbarian, Van Weehunt. It's on right now. He's on all over the world.
By the way, if you want to sponsor your product, your widget, if you've got a thing you want to promote on the air, contact the show. Contact me at VonWeehunt Show@gmail.com. Call in. Go to the chat room. We'd love to get some new sponsors for the show this year.
Have you ever wanted your company, product, or idea on the radio airwaves? Well, now is your chance. Be a proud sponsor of the Von Weehunt Radio Show program, which airs weekly on blogtalkradio.com and then is uploaded to many internet websites such as Dark Sky Radio, Twitter, Spotify Podcast, and then all over America and the entire world. Get your product, service, and business idea out there now. We have very good cost-effective rates, and Von can get you on the air and in front of literally tens of thousands of radio listeners each week all over the nation for pennies on your advertising dollar. And the return on your investment is huge. It's a hell of a great deal, and Von will work with you to make your business or idea a big success. Von Weehunt is a man of action and of his word. Please contact him at the station on Twitter via the Von Weehunt Show, or you can email him your advertising product or inquiry at VonWeehuntShow@gmail.com. That's VonWeehuntShow@gmail.com. Don't delay and do it today. Remember, folks, it's always on with Von. This ad brought to you by Wolf Studio Productions.
Damn right. Let's get right back to the phones here. Hello, you're live on the Von Weehunt Show. What's your name? Are you there? Going once. You're live on the air. Going twice. Hello. What's your name, sir?
Did you unmute me?
You're breaking up. I can hear you now. What's your name?
Okay. Oh, I'm Hatter. This is Hatter.
Hatter, how's it going, man?
Yeah. Oh, just fine. Just fine. Got done with.
Now, are you also
shows.
On Gab?
No. No, I'm just on Blog
Talk. Oh, okay. Okay. Where do you, which state are you calling from?
Northern California.
Oh, I love it up there, man. Yeah. Redding?
Below Redding. I'm just east of Sacramento, the capital, between Tahoe and Sacramento.
Oh, you're on the east side. Okay, I thought you might be by Red Bluff, but you're on the other side. Okay, you're up there in the beautiful Sierras, man.
Well, just the foothills. Just out of
the foothills, gotcha. I've been over there many times. Well, I grew up in Sacramento, so I know.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good old Rancho Cordova.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up in Fair Oaks. I grew up in Fair Oaks, just across the river.
Very cool. Yeah, my whole family, I had an aunt that lived in Long Beach by the Queen Mary. My uncle was in Tustin down there in Orange County, and another relative was back in the day in San Diego before it blew up. But you're in a beautiful part of the country. Tell me about what's going on in Northern California. I'm all ears. Can't wait to hear your report, your field report, and what's on your mind, man. Floor is yours.
Well, as far as Lake Mead and the water that's going to be given or supply Los Angeles, San Diego, they're already taking they've taken farmland up here from the farmers on eminent domain type thing, and they're going to this is what they're suggesting they're going to drill tunnels, two tunnels, like 40 feet or 20 feet or 40 feet in diameter. Down south to supply Southern Cal. Now this is a hell of a project they're suggesting, and for one thing, the tunnel does run parallel with the San Andreas Fault all the way down. I saw the map what we were going to do, but Yeah, they're mm-hmm. going to just steal it from somebody else. And as far as reservoirs, they could have built underground reservoirs. Mm-hmm. They could have done something. They knew this years ago about Lake Mead mm-hmm. and the water supply is going down, and did nothing. I mean, at least try. Mm-hmm. All they suggested is pipe. And the sad thing is, they're going to take the Sacramento and the American River right there in Sacramento. Now, they're suggesting to take down in the Delta, that's where they're going to be taking the same amount that equals the American River. So they're going to take so much influx out of the Sacramento River down south. Now, that's going to raise in the Delta, that's going to raise the salt table. And that's going to destroy some of the mm-hmm. best farmland in the world. So they don't care the consequences of things they think is going to help. And you know what? They haven't started building this. They haven't started drilling that I know of. So it is probably the same thing as Auburn Dam, which is not going to happen.
Right. Interesting, man. Well, you know what? I'll be going up there this summer to Northern California. And I'm taking Valhalla Studios on the road, man. And we're going to be broadcasting live from the California coast and the Oregon coast. Yes, and from the Redwoods and up in that way. Yeah. I will be up there. I'll be coming up there in probably a month or so, bringing some radio equipment with me. And I've got some business up there. There are a lot of preppers up there and patriots and militia types. See, Gavin Newsom, as you all know, he hates Northern California. I keep telling people that. He only loves San Francisco south to about the San Diego border. And that's where most of the people live anyway. They're a liberal Democrat. But he despises Northern California. Why? There's people like you up there, like Hatter. You got your patriot people, a lot of vets up there, conservative, you know, it's more of a, those are red counties who voted for Trump. They didn't go for Hillary or Biden. And he hates it. He detests it, you know, and that's why they're always in California. He'll poke fun of that part of the state. They never give it any attention, do they?
You know, you're right.
You guys are just
Southern California
out there, left to your own thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It should be at least two states. I agree with the three state breakup of California: central, northern, and south.
Right.
Northern California has been raped for years for the car theft capital of the world. Who do you think pays for that? The water. Any resources mm-hmm. they can strip from Northern Cal, they have. They've been screwing the farmers for years,
mm-hmm.
mainly because 99% of farmers are conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what are the pros and cons of living in Northern California, where you're at? You're northeast of Sacramento. Tell the audience.
Sacramento is a great place to grow up. It has changed dramatically, and so has the outlying cities like Rancho, Cordova, up to Fair Oaks, Citrus Heights, up to Roseville.
Mm-hmm.
In that, it's changed so much. I came back from further north, being up there for about 9 years. I came back. I didn't even recognize Fair Oaks or Rancho Cordova. It's just the building. There's no more pastures. There's no more orchards. They've killed the monarch butterfly migration. When I was growing up in Fair Oaks, we used to have clouds of them. I'm not talking little, you know, bundles of butterflies. I'm talking clouds. These things would come down our street and mm-hmm. up into the orchards every year. One year I was taking care of my mother, who was elderly at the time, and she was crying. And I said, "Mom, what's wrong?" She said, "I saw one butterfly this year." She was right. There's no orchards left for them to go up and stay in for a couple of days on my way up north to Canada, Alaska. And they've completely destroyed it. That's just one of the things. I need to get further into the foothills towards above Auburn, Grass Valley, Nevada City, that way. That's still hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
Progress.
Now, Hatter, how would you describe yourself? Are you a militia guy? Are you a prepper? Are you just a concerned citizen? How would you describe yourself and your friends, your posse up there?
I'm a scared wannabe prepper, that's for sure. I'm a conservative.
You're honest.
I'm a conservative. I do believe in tradition.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that you have to look at our past to know where we're going, and if you destroy the past, you've got nowhere to go. They're destroying this state. There's more in the last 2 years. There's more people leaving the state than coming in. That's the first time in history, I think.
They
destroyed the middle class. Yeah.
Well, now, are there still people? Now we've heard about a lot of that from the LA region, et cetera. Are there people trickling out of even Northern California, or moving in, or is it remaining somewhat stable?
They've made it impossible to invest into your own business. Some of the regulations and fees to pay, and they keep you from breaking ground for years.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's they're destroying the middle class. I've had at least 10 of my friends move out of state. Some back east, some to Texas, some to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get the hell out. The cost of living is incredible. We've got the highest gas prices in the country, I believe.
Right.
And they were saying, I saw a congressman addressing Congress, and he said, I just got a text from a friend of mine who just filled up his rig. He's a truck driver. You know what the bill was? $1,000. Now, that's
all. Well, that's chump change. Just kidding. Yeah, I know, man. They act like that's no big deal. You can afford that. Come on, Hatter. No big deal to you and your friends, right?
Well,
that's a lot of cash for gas.
That is.
No, yeah. It's no. See, they're so out of touch with the reality. They think that America can just absorb all these costs like a sponge, and there will be no recourse. Everyone's just going to go on like business as usual, right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there's countries building mountain inside mountains to ski on in the desert. We should be doing that. We should be progressing that way. Our infrastructure
totally
should
agree.
Be clean. Should be clean and
we need our money for our own infrastructure projects. There's a lot of things that we can do. We can fix up a lot of our big cities. We can definitely have a water pipeline going to Vegas and the West, where 30, 35 million people live and counting, and probably a lot more. That's the latest estimate that I heard. But there's a lot of things that need to be done that we're not doing this is my point. We always have money for foreign countries. We have senators, our Roman senators ship over themselves to give money to Ukraine, and they huff and puff and they put out their chests and act all tough. We're stopping, you know, Putin, blah, blah. They're so concerned about Putin. And I get it. It's a world stage. I know we're not isolated like I'd like us to be more. But I get all that. My thing is, okay, do some of that. Just take 50% of it and bring the dollars home and stop having wasteful spending here. And we need projects done in this country. Can't always rely on the poor cities and towns to do it, and the corporations only build roads to their factories and nothing else. You know, we've got money for everything else, but I always say at the end of the day, there's never any money for the American people, is there? And I say America first, not America last.
I think our elected officials should have no interests in foreign countries at all. They should be invested in this country, and they should be completely transparent on what businesses and what they put their money into. There's so much – they're protecting their interests over there in the Ukraine and then China and these other countries. These politicians are getting filthy rich over this. I think they're blind.
They are. They're getting kickbacks, man. Lots of kickbacks. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of suitcases full of cash being put on government planes. I know the scam. When those government planes come back, guess what? They aren't checked in customs. And those suitcases full of cash end up in congressmen's big fat bank accounts, domestic and even in Swiss banks. So they can't tell me they're going over there to shake Zelensky's hand.
No interest. They should have no interest in no foreign bank accounts. That should be.
Oh, they're lined up to go to Ukraine. Right, the money troughs.
And get rid of the career politician. You can't have that. These guys need to go back into the society where what they did to us. I think they'll be a little more conscious of their what they do and what they don't do. So the
senators
should go back home. Yeah, I mean, you got to.
I wish, but you know what? The problem is they write the laws, and they're never going to write themselves out of existence. I agree with you, man, in theory, but I'm a realist and a pragmatist. At the end of the day, it's not going to happen. But
right. I
like the way
you
think. It should happen. I'm with you. I'm with you, man. It should happen. I'd like for it to happen. But I want to ask you a question. How did you hear about the Von Wiehan Show?
Oh, I've listened to you before several times. I just surfing on the blog talk. And just tap
nice.
And listen. I've listened to you several times. Yeah.
Very, very cool. Who's your favorite caller or your favorite theme on this show, if any?
Gunslinger, I guess.
Just curious. The Gunslinger.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's popular. Gun Boomer, we call him. Just love it, man. Well, Hatter, tell me, talk about the show far and wide to your friends up there in Northern Cal. Tell them Von Wiehan's going to pay them a visit. I will be up there in your neck of the woods, literally, in a month or so. So we're going to be broadcasting somewhere at a secret location for Northern California coastline. Studio of Valhalla Studios will be. I will only build it in that part of the country where it's, you know, somewhat safe.
Yeah,
you know, I need to be surrounded by lots of people that think like us, put it that way. So what are your final thoughts to America, man? Right, right.
Yeah, we've got to invest in America.
The best of America, right. What California used to be. So what are your final thoughts to this country?
It was a great place to grow up. I grew up in Fair Oaks,
mm-hmm.
California. It was a village of the right across the river from Rancho Cordova, across the American River. It's a great place to grow up. I couldn't have asked for a better childhood or growing up through high school. So it was great, but it has changed drastically, and and it's just not for the best, for the better. They don't. You don't feel safe basically anymore.
Mm.
You don't see kids on bikes. No kids riding bikes anymore at all.
Wow. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Hatter, thanks a lot for calling the show. Call back anytime, man. Good
okay,
to meet
man,
you
thanks.
All on the air and over the airwaves.
Thank you, Ben. Can't wait to hear you from Northern Cal.
Thank you, Hatter. You bet,
yeah.
Buddy.
Bye-bye.
Have a great night up there in Northern Cal. Love it.
Okay.
Good night. Very cool. Very cool. We had Hatter talking. And, you know, up there in the hinterlands of Arizona, or it could be eastern Washington, eastern Oregon, just stay away from the Portland area. The Oregon coast is very middle of the road. A lot of patriots up there, too, that I've met. Northern California, a lot of patriots. Of course, Idaho and Montana are good. Nevada's pretty good in the northern part around Reno, Lake Tahoe. Arizona from Phoenix, Scottsdale, or in the North Valley, especially where I'm from. Straight north is very strong. There's a lot of pockets of a lot of strength out here out west. Very, very good. But sometimes out there in the boonies or in the hinterlands west of the Rockies, it can sound a little bit like this. Green eggs,
Give me that countryside.
That song. What a great TV show back in the day in Retro America. Well, you have some breaking news here that a former, during the show, it's got news here in the studio that a former anti-communist prime minister of Japan has been shot. He was on the campaign trail. Not the current prime minister of Japan, but a former prime minister has been shot. We don't know if he's dead or alive. But he's been shot, breaking news all over the world. Well, what did I tell you? I told you we're going to hear and see a lot of crazy things the next several years. And it's all over the news and just amazing what's happening out there. Well, let's get a little bit of our tech wizard on. Then we'll get to Lincoln out there in somewhere in flyover country. Iris Pirates, the tech wizard. Stay safe out there, man. I heard the former Japanese prime minister got shot. Unbelievable news.
Well, there's no safe. No safe
for yourself.
Job in any.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no safe job out there in any dignitary position anyway.
No.
It seems to be more and more fundamental that anybody wants to change politics by killing people seems to be more and more okay, which to me is really strange. That used to be the only thing that wasn't allowed. And now it's like the norm, or they want it to be. We talked about that from a personal liberty point of view. I brought it up before that I'm not very happy that we have this thing called law enforcement. I like peace officers myself. And it sounds just like a nomenclature. It doesn't sound like it's anything important. But in the past month or two, I now recognize what that means. The last time I remember anybody being trained in the Constitution and the concept of being a peace officer was in Philadelphia in 1982. I don't know who went first or after or anything like that. I do know that there was a concerted effort to stop teaching the Constitution to the men in blue that were carrying a badge. Now, obviously,
how
there's good
ones. How dare you
way.
Teach the Constitution, Irish? How dare you?
Well, I'd step up and do it myself. I mean, if they
Right.
take the children away from me, that's where I'm going next. I'll teach the adults how to get their Constitution back. Anyway, the a legal historian by the name of Mary R. Ziegler, there's a quote I found online that I like. No one should get used to their rights. Predicting with certainty which ones, if any, will go or when is just impossible. You have to normally scout out for any or all of them disappearing. And at this point, it's almost the point where you got to pick one and keep it, if you could do that. I was reading from John Whitehead. He is the president of the Rutherford Institute, which is a constitutional studying institution. And he started listing court cases that changed how, in other words, stakes, and then they get them into court and they say, nah, it's okay by us, even if they got to do it two or three times to run it through,
okay.
Kind of like what they've done with other court cases to take away things. That, I mean, we've noticed that.
Gotcha.
But anyway, he had a list of court cases, and what freedoms were given to bad cops after that. He's been going on for a long time. So this kind of blew me away. There was one, Egbert versus Bull, which gave total immunity to Border Patrol agents, who one of them beat up a bed and breakfast owner, and they just, they didn't call that excessive force. This is weird. Another one A Fifth Circuit ruling granted qualified immunity to jail officials who watched a suicidal inmate strangle himself, didn't even bother trying to help. It was just bizarre.
Yeah.
Or one man, I don't remember where, but it was Ramirez versus Guadarrama. The court actually watched a man douse himself in gasoline. And this is not meant to be an intelligent way to say, oh, I think I know how to kill him. They didn't think. They just whipped out their taser. At least that's what they said. It was just an instinct, and they lit him and set him, literally blew him up, because, you know, they didn't know whether or not, when he doused himself in gasoline, whether or not that was just a threat to do it or whether or not he had the ability to set himself on fire, but they went ahead and did it for him.
Right.
That one, at least I can say, even if it was dumb, I think that should be legal. You go ahead and do it 7/8 of the way, they should finish it for you. But the amazing thing is that in each and every one of these cases, and I mean, I've got 6 more pages of this. I'm not going to do all 6, obviously. But the important thing is, like, okay, in each and every one of these things, if the police were actually told, your job is to uphold everybody else's constitutional rights. So all you have to do is watch for the peace being broken. In other words, someone's not letting somebody else enjoy their rights, then you could just jump right in, because you've got the same power that they do plus the badge. But that's not the way it's looked at anymore. Law enforcement officer is just as disgusting as human resources, which is what they try to slap you with if you get employed now. You're a resource.
Right.
It's like, I want to be a resource. But law enforcement is with a small L. Capital L is a natural law. Any law established through one of the 4 organic documents of this country, the United States, for those listening overseas. There are 4 of them. The most famous is the Constitution. Next most famous is the Declaration of Independence, and there's the Articles of Confederation. And all of them have one thing in common. They acknowledge the Creator. They say that there are natural laws. I hope you believe in God, because you're going to be really disappointed when you find out he had a lot to do with this country. But try to stay away from the biblical part of it, which I will definitely do later on. Once you have natural law, and I mean with a capital L, okay, these things shall not be infringed, basically. I mean, that's the whole idea behind precedent law. And the number one thing the United States has that no other country ever had is the Second Amendment. To basically keep yourself equal to the government in force, not by numbers, per se. You already have the numbers because you're being represented. But if they have anything you could call arms. Now, they want to say arms are even mechanical. That's not true. You could use chemicals to defend yourself at home, for example. Yeah, incendiaries and things like that, or mace. Arms are defense systems that are legal. I mean, they had to give it a name.
Right.
And where a lot of these things, it's, you know, like Bill Clinton's all famous, what is the definition of is? Well, if you just keep splitting hairs until somebody says, I don't know what you're talking about, that doesn't mean you've won a legal argument or torn down somebody else's argument. You're being like the left is today. You're just being an idiot and you're babbling on. So the problem that I have with this and all these pages of cases, pages and pages and pages of cases, police can suffocate someone in the process of subduing them, like happened recently.
Right.
Or anyway, it's crazy. And I learned about a lot of these when I first moved to Las Vegas in the 1990s, there were people that were arming themselves with knowledge there. And it made me want to become a sovereign citizen. I had my chat with God, and God said, not now. I was very disappointed, but I didn't get to do that. But now, at least I have understood, where there are people that say, look, if you're not going to follow the law, I'm going to get closer to the Constitution myself. And this is what I'm noticing, is that they have decided, and you can go look this one up, although I don't recommend you spend a whole hour watching the video, hour plus. There's a guy named Dr. Eugene Schroeder who goes over the War Powers Act, which was originally in 1917 because we had a world war for the first time. And they made it very clear, you can't trade with the enemy. You start messing around with the enemies that our military is out there fighting overseas and whatnot, you're sabotaging this country's best interests. We can take your stuff. So your deals don't count. We don't protect you like we do your neighbor if you're trading with the enemy. The difference being in 1933, they turned around and changed the definition of the enemy to include American citizens. And nobody seemed to care about that. You wondered why slowly but surely you put somebody into office and they ignored you. It started then, really. Or at least they knew that they could get away with it then. I said in our previous show it was 1779, which is partially true as well. But and there's lots of times where people could say, oh, they jumped off the train that the Constitution started.
Right.
The answer is, so what? The answer is you yourself have to represent yourself as to what happened, when it happened, and be able to say, this is who I really am. And in this country, you can get away with that. You still have the right to represent yourself in as many different contracts as you want to make out. Personage, the term. Person being you dress into a Superman outfit, and your person is Superman. And if somebody calls you Superman, they know it's Superman because you're dressed up in the outfit. But the hard part is that's not legally you. You may be acting as Superman, but you're not Superman. So the problem is we don't know who we are.
But Irish, I have a question for you. What year did Superman start?
I couldn't tell you. I have no idea.
Okay.
I think
it's somewhere in the 1930s.
Yes, I do believe that's about, I'm sure you're within a decade on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, go ahead.
Just wanted to announce, folks. Really, really quick here. Just hang on, Irish. We have some more breaking news about Japan. This prime minister wanted to put a lot of missiles into Japan to hit China and Russia. China and Russia have been, as you know, been doing encircling maneuvers of Japan for 2 years now from our news desk. And the last time something big like this happened, God forbid, a world war broke out. Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated, as you know, before World War I. Let's hope cooler heads prevail here. But this is very, very serious over in Asia. Asia is a tinderbox anyway. As you know, we have troops in Japan, troops in South Korea, in Guam, and Australia, and Taiwan. We have troops all over the Pacific. So we need your thoughts and prayers to be for our troops tonight who could be in harm's way. I always say America first, and we hope good things can happen for Japan. They are an ally of ours now. The Empire of the Rising Sun, they never used to be, but they are now with our troops there, et cetera. We hope things can calm the rough waters over there in Asia. But that's the breaking news. This stuff will continue to pour in the entire night. It's going to be a busy night after the show, I can tell. But continue, Irish. I'm sorry about that. So I wanted to tell our audience out there in Radio Land some breaking news. Go ahead, sir.
Well, for me, the latest breaking news, a very famous musician in the rock and roll world actually collapsed on stage today in performance. He's getting old, but he ain't dead yet. And I'm hoping he still gets to perform. His name is Carlos Santana. And
he's very popular. Great musician.
Very popular with the romantic ballad people.
Yes.
Rock and roll ballad.
Big fan of Santana.
Listen to all day. So, yeah, I'm hoping he gets
he's awesome.
Just simply because, he's I don't know about his patriotism, but I can tell you he definitely has lit a lot of fires from within on different people that I know. That it's interesting. Somebody said today, it's like, for all the things that are wrong out there, all the bad words that people have, it's kind of funny. The government still honors Latinos and the Latinas. They, like, for example, they don't get mad at a Latin woman for her conservatism and call her like a Latinette or something like that.
Right.
No, they still call her by what she calls herself, Latina, which I think is really cool. There's not enough of that that goes on. For whatever reason, they get that right. I think it's an accident. Now that we've said that, they'll probably change it. But, it's pretty crazy how over time what they've done is they managed to hoodwink us into believing that we're someone we're not. And that's what the barrage in Hollywood and all this other stuff. They've gotten you to believe that you're someone that you are, that you legally cannot be, that you honestly should not be if you're interested in determining your own fate. Like if you're an entrepreneur or in the, or in our cases, bachelor means willing to get married. They say you shouldn't even be willing to do that. I mean, we want to take all that away from you. And for example, we'll take away all your economic freedom and we'll tell you what to eat. I mean, this kind of stuff is crazy. And now, while they're turning around, for example, Gavin Newsom is telling people you're not allowed to travel to Montana. I'm trying to make a ban on all Californians because Montana stood up to the LGBTQ thing, which I always thought was let's get Biden to quit, but apparently they've hooked some sort of a sexual thing on there. Can't imagine what that is because it makes no sense to me. But he said if anybody goes to Montana, then I don't know what he's going to do to him. I mean, that's impossible to enforce, but that's typical of the left. And so sure enough, where does he go on vacation this last weekend? Oh, yeah, Montana. I mean, it's almost like he has to do it to prove that he's in charge of you, that's more important.
He wants to say the rules don't apply to me. Right, the rules only apply to you all, the little people, of which they call all of us the little people. We're in flyover country or flyover country in California. You don't matter. I, the governor, can decree that. I can go wherever the hell I want, and I can dictate policy from wherever the hell I want. They want to get that message out loud and clear. And to them, they go, that is the privilege of their position, right? They don't view it as being a hypocrite, but they are a hypocrite. You and I both have called them out on that, but it is what it is. It's crazy.
So in summary, what I was reading from earlier was sources from John Whitehead, and I was just looking at the relationship between police and American people. And that's broken down to a point where he's actually gone point to point and says that's deteriorated. But now we know this about the medical community. Two shows ago, I was telling you about what's been disappearing out of the medical community. Matter of fact, I think it was three or four shows ago, I told you about Robert Koch, 1890, who is not even a licensed doctor, came up with the idea of how to determine if somebody was sick or not. And that was the gold standard for the medical community for a long time after. Then I did a little bit more reading and studying him. I found out there's a brand new book that's coming out, brand new. It's called Virus Mania. A lady by the name of Dr. Samantha Bailey, who's apparently people just like to watch her because she's cute, but she has something to say. And the important thing here is that she learned that when you try to use Mr. Koch's ideas, so I guess I'll call him Dr. Koch because they did give him an honorary. Here's what they found. You try to tell them, okay, did you isolate the cold virus, the flu virus, all these other viruses we know about? The answer is no, we went on the symptom. The viruses are too small for us to see them in a microscope. And you say, well, how did you know that was the virus? Well, we guessed based on the symptoms. And so the answer is you never did really isolate if it was one organism, did you? Maybe it's just someone got sick because their cells didn't respond correctly. That doesn't make it an outside organism. And they'll go like, they didn't actually do their job medically. And we're not talking 2019, which is what I was worried about. That did they change this in 2019? Because they changed a bunch of other stuff. The answer is no. That was early 1900s. I mean, I hate to say this.
Yeah.
Johnny Salk was a complete idiot in 1954 when he invented the concept that a vaccine comes from a needle. Vaccines don't come from
a needle.
He's an
idiot.
Before 1954.
God, classic.
He
classic Irish pirate.
Him in 3 years. 3 years after he came up with
I know.
The idea of making a vaccine come out of a needle. They laughed at him. Until they found out how much money
we got to run, Irish. We got to run, big guy.
Okay.
Hey, we will get you on the next show, man. I know. We could talk about that for another 30 minutes. I got to get some more calls in, buddy.
Okay. So summary.
Thank you, Irish Pirate.
You got to stand up for yourself, America.
I totally agree.
We've been depending on idiots for way too long, way before my birth, way before my grandfather's birth.
Great. He's right. Irish Pirate's right. Yeah, folks, when you get on the show, as you well know, we'd love to give you more time for everybody. But make your points quickly. My best advice, this isn't a dissertation where we can all have 30 minutes of time. I wish we could, but I want you to come on, bang out your points, and get them out there, and then we'll have time to lounge around in the radio lounge and talk. And by the way, we want to thank the Irish Pirate for our fun packs, and he's going to get some more to us. And he's been a regular part of the show since I started this in my KFNX days. I want to thank him for being a big part of the show for many, many years. We're going to get to Lincoln next in Flyover Country. But first, we'll play this.
Talked to you in a couple of weeks.
Doing good.
Well, not on air.
Hey, anymore. Good to hear your voice, man. Hail victory out there. Gosh, there's so
absolutely
much to talk about. Where would you like to begin,
to
man?
About, man. I don't. I missed the first couple of minutes of your show. I was getting logged in and everything.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the Georgia Guidestones that everyone's going so crazy about?
Yeah, you know, that was on my list too. I meant to talk about that actually. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, the Georgia Guidestones were blown up, folks. And they came by in a bulldozer and they got rid of those things. Those were the globalists. Granite tablets that said they wanted to limit the world's population to 500 million, and somebody blew them up, which I love, actually. They did a covert action,
yeah.
And I guess the state said because they blew it up, they had to go in and then bulldoze them because it was unsafe for the public. And that's awesome because I don't like the Georgia Guidestones one iota. So whoever did that out there in America land, we salute you from the Von Wehen Show.
Absolutely, but
we do. We salute you. We love it.
No, I salute whoever did that. But I'm seeing some different takes out there that kind of lose me, man. I got to be honest. Like I see like a lot of the Andrew Torba types who run Gab, the Lauren Witzke type, like the Nick Fuentes that are about Christian nationalism, whatever. I mean,
what are they saying?
One thing, which is. Well, they're saying it's an act of God, and so, you know, it's a great thing. And it was nothing. It was just an act of God. The one that's even more wild to me, it's clearly a bomb going off, explosion happening.
It's clearly a bomb.
The Q-tards are running the Q-tards are running wild with it. Valiant Thor is taking credit for it. There's Q-tard memes like that. That it's all part of the plan. This is why you need to trust the plan, because this was all part of the plan.
Oh my God!
And you know, to all you doubters all you doubters who didn't trust the plan, this is a fuck you. And you know, you should have trusted the plan.
Classic. Oh my God! They are out there, man, in left field. That's clearly an explosion. I saw that video about 10 times, different versions of it. That's a clear – it was a damn explosion. It was not Valiant Thor or the Q-tards will believe anything. All the their favorite line is trust the plan. I keep telling them there is no frickin' plan. Trump does not have a magical plan. And it's not a bad reflection on Trump. I like Trump, but he doesn't have a plan. It's just a fact.
That was part of the plan, Vaughn. You damn doubter. That was part of the plan. You should trust the plan because that was part of Valiant Thor.
Yep, I'm guilty as charged. I am guilty as charged. I am a doubter now. Yeah, that's right. I am. And I don't believe half that crap. You know what? You're right. You're right, Lincoln. I need to repent my sins to America. I need to have more faith in Q. Have more faith in what the Q-tards say. And I believe it was, it was God who just exploded the Georgia Guidestones. And, oh, my God, you know, these people, man, they're reaching for it, you know. And what gets me is they have such huge audiences, dude. Millions of people listen to all these other shows. Tens of thousands at minimum. I mean, they got a humongous audiences. And people buy that stuff. They buy that crap. Unbelievable. Well, not me and not this show and not my listeners. We know better. That was a covert action, I would say, that was well executed in the middle of the night. I have no idea who did that, but I saw the video and I laughed my ass off and I went, it's about time those stupid Georgia Guidestones come down. Good for them. And I hope they run like the wind and they're just a ghost, you know?
I have no idea who did it, but if I found out who did it, I would high five that person and buy him a beer. I can tell you that.
I would too. I'd buy him a beer and buy him a steak. You bet. We'll fix him up. Absolutely. That was the best news I heard yesterday. The Georgia Guidestones were blown up. I mean, that's been a milestone in that. Yep, I should have thanked Valiant Thor. You know, I should have put that in my front monologue, front and center. But there was so much stuff that was going on the past couple days. And we didn't get into the Highland Park shooter as much as I would like to tonight. But that whack job up there, you know, cross-dresser, you know, the guy drove around Highland Park with sex dolls in his car.
Yep.
And he put... he put them in clothes and caps and stuff. Strange guy, man. Strange.
Hey, did you see the tattoo?
I'm sure it's a guy.
Did you see the tattoo on his arm of the clothes?
Which one?
With a rose on top of it. He has this big one.
Oh,
on
yeah, I saw
forearm.
That.
It's a closed fist with a rose. That's actually an Antifa symbol that they use.
It is. That's right. It is.
That's a symbol for.
Yeah, he's a hardcore leftist shooter.
Rose City Antifa.
That's right. Rose City Antifa. That's right. That's an Antifa symbol. You're right. And I saw that and I went, this guy is a. Look, nobody on the far right, dyes her hair pink, is an aspiring rapper, you know, drives around with sex dolls, is a cross dresser. I mean, everything was just screaming to me, leftist, militant, Democrat, whack job, weirdo, trans, you know, mental midget, idiot. It's just screaming to me, leftist. You know, there's nothing conservative. There's nothing right wing about the guy. Nothing.
Well, I can tell you that I'm a far right wing guy. I'm a far right wing guy. Probably the furthest, you know, by far the furthest right wing guy I have on your show. And I can tell you firsthand from being a far right wing guy is that if you're a far right wing guy, first off, you're not some little skinny fag like that. And if you dye your hair pink, you get your ass kicked and bullied until you're no longer part of the far right again.
As you should. Exactly. Yeah, that guy got his ass beat all the time. Yeah, a little faggot for sure. Unbelievable. Just a little twerp, man. And he knew it, you know. And, you know, look, what I can't stand is that how the taxpayers have got to feed and house this guy. We have to spend money on him for the next 7 years. He's never going to get out of jail. We need to fast track these mass shooters to military tribunals in my book, because it's not really a crime of passion like in a real, you know, like a murder situation. It's really a planned, methodical mass shooter. I would fast track them to military tribunal and then firing squad. It's a lot better for society. Just why even keep them in a jail, you know? What are your thoughts?
You know, what's funny is that, you know, they haven't even mentioned possible terrorism charges against that fag, but they mentioned terrorism charges against Patriot Front for simply marching through the streets.
Yeah. I mean, they just marched in Boston, and they caught hell for it. What's the latest on all that?
Oh, there really is really nothing. I mean, the one Negro that tried to jump in and break up the whole thing and tried to assault them, he didn't get anywhere because they had shields and they was able to stop it from happening. You know, he didn't accomplish anything, but now he's like filing lawsuits against the city, trying to sue them for not protecting him. You know,
right.
There's videos. You can find him on my Telegram channel. You can go to Patriot Front's Telegram channel. Just type in Patriot Front. You can find their channel. It's public. You know,
this
video, you know, he's like literally trying to jump into the middle of their march and assault them. All they do is parry his, you know, his blows with their shields. You know, at some point, you know, he tripped and fell. But now he's like wanting to sue the organization, sue the city for not protecting him, like all this crazy stuff. It's bizarre. Nothing's going to happen to the guys. He did nothing wrong. They marched through the city and they left. That's it.
Yeah. Were there any other altercations or fights or weird people coming out of the woodwork trying to harass them?
Oh, yeah, everywhere they go, they have people. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you have, like, conservatives yelling at them, calling them feds, and you have, like, you know, Negroes and fags, like, throwing stuff at them, which is why they carry shields. That's why they carry shields, to keep themselves from being assaulted.
Right. Shields are, folks, they are defensive armaments that you need. It's a defensive weapon, so to speak, in the sense that it shields you, i.e. the word shield, from the militant, crazy, whacked-out crowd. They have people that lunge at them because they have banners that say, you know, strong families equals strong nations and other very classic, you know, banners and slogans that really – but it just shows you how the left in this country, the leftist militant Democrats, what triggers them. They're so easily triggered by mainstream slogans and themes. They just can't contain themselves. And they have to lunge at these guys, Patriot Front. They lunge at them, and they want to get in their day, and they want to make a big scene. And then like that black guy up there in Boston, now he has a claim against the city. See, they do that to get claims against these legal entities like the city to get some cash. They want some money. They want a payday. Well, let's lunge at this group. I'll say I wasn't protected by the city police. I'll say they yelled at me or whatever, which is a bunch of BS probably. And then I can go against the city and sue them and file a claim. That's their little Democrat scam. They're always looking for a claim to file, if you notice. Go ahead, Lincoln.
Do you know why BLM and the fags, when they have their parades and things, when BLM has their marches and the fags have their parades and marches, do you know why they don't need shields? That's because the police get on their knees and bow down to them and protect them and keep them safe. The police don't protect Patriot Front, so remember that next time you wave your stupid Blue Lives Matter flag.
That's right. The police actually arrested them in Idaho for conspiracy to riot. The police do not back up Patriot Front at all. But if you're a leftist group having a pride march, or you know, you're a homosexual group, or you're a witch's coven, or you're, you know, a satanic march, or if you're a Democrat march, or you know, if you're like the grown men in Seattle dancing naked around children, that's all well, fine, and good in today's America. You'll have a police presence. You'll be protected from the evil white far-right man or suburban man, and they'll have all kinds of police out there to help you and assist you and guide people. And the police will even don rainbow badges, I've seen, and rainbow flags. They'll put rainbow stickers on their squad cars because they want to be in solidarity with you. They want you to know we support you. You're who we support. And they made that very, very clear. It's really sad. I've seen this time and time again.
Yeah.
And now I can say a lot of it comes down from the chief of police, you know, and the mayor who were Democrats, and they order them to do that. That's true. But a lot of the rank and file officers, I believe, go right along with it and probably support it too. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. I think most of them are against it. It's just that this world we live in, you take your average, you know, when he's told to do this, is he going to risk, you know, say the guy's 14 years into his 20-year pension, is he going to throw all that away to do the right thing?
No. I don't blame the cop.
Greedy world where, you know, we live in this greedy world
right.
where he wins his 401k. He can't do the right thing.
Right.
He doesn't like what he's doing, but he has no choice, you know. And he does have a choice. He could quit. Cops aren't well paid. I don't even make good money, and I make more than your average cop. But, you know, they do that for, you know, they like that job for a reason. You know, they like the authority,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them. Not all, but a lot of them like the authority. A lot of them like the power.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
It's not a well-paying job. But when they get so far in, it's like, do I want to risk my pension plan to leave? So they'll just go with the flow because no one wants to stand up and do the right thing. They just go with the flow.
Well, the problem is I don't blame the cops at all because, you know, in a lot of these cities, the mayor, the governor, and your chief prosecutor, the chief of police, they're all Democrats, and they order you must abide by the new human resource regulation of the Pride Month, the Pride, you know, and we're going to wear stickers. And, yeah, look, they're not going to throw away, and they shouldn't throw away their job. Look, they've got families to support, probably kids in school. They've got kids' college coming up. They're pissed off about, I'm sure, a lot of these things, a lot of the real cops. But unfortunately, in our America of today, they have to go along with this stuff and kind of grin and bear it, bite their lip, because they need the pension to survive. Like you said, they're not making a ton of money. They're probably, a lot of cops, people don't know, is for paycheck to paycheck. They don't make a ton of money. They only make money when they work overtime, from what I've heard, until you get to be a detective or lieutenant, until you really get up in the ranks. But your beat cop does not make a lot of money at all. And so, yeah, it really sucks. So, you know, I would not expect them to, you know, take a stand for me or my audience. I mean, look, they have bills to pay. And we live in a material world, whether we like it or not. We don't live in an ideological world. We live in a material world. And until we can wrap our minds around that and figure out other ways of making income, people have mortgages, power, water, you know, cable, cell phone bills, groceries. And with inflation, they're squeezed even more with Biden inflation. So they're just not in an economic position, right, to make these big, bold political moves. And really and truly, I would advise them, look, right now, go for the money. You're not a politician anyway. If you take a stand, they're just going to fire your ass. You know, if you got two young ones at home that depend on you and daddy for money, look, take care of your kids and your family comes first. And then, you know, maybe your politics, but your family comes first. I'm sorry, unless you got a job lined up, you're kind of stuck in that position. Unfortunately, they use those guys as pawns, right? So they wanted the whole community to think they all support the Pride March. And I love how they say our community. They always, I don't know why they have to elongate that word so much, but it sounds creepy, man. But what are your final thoughts to America, Lincoln?
Are you like going out and using your platform and actively campaigning for the politician right there in your state right now, Jerome Davis?
Nope. I am not campaigning for anybody.
Oh, yeah. His ad went viral about how he's running in your state there in Arizona. He's running for, I think it's state senate. I don't know if it's
mm-hmm.
in his district or whatever, but he's running for that.
I've heard of him.
Viral campaign ad now about how he just released this ad yesterday, and this boomer conservatives eat it up, loving it, because it's the whole ad is like 37 seconds long. It's on my Telegram channel. It's hilarious.
Okay.
It's, he's an ex-NFL player, and he has this new ad he came out with yesterday, and the entire ad is how Democrats and liberals are against guns, and I need my gun. I need my – I hate the word assault rifle. But he's like, my assault rifle, because when these when these white racist Democrats come for me, I have to protect myself. And he shows a picture of a bunch of Democrats wearing Klan robes and Klan hoods. Like that's
yeah, I
where
saw that.
Fucking close to the modern day Democrat party.
Yeah. He's a black politician, folks, right? Yeah, he's yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to point that out, yeah, because our audience doesn't really know. Yeah, he's a black politician. He looks out. He said, I have to be armed against these Democrat whites wearing Klan robes coming after. I mean, it's so cheesy, man. I mean, you know, but unfortunately, you know, I saw that and I was like, kind of rolled my eyes and went, okay, I see. You know, see, now we have black conservatives who want to play the race card the other way. They played it against the Republican Party for 40 or 50 years, to be frank, and now they want to use it against the other party because they want to move up. They see a vacuum of power, I believe, in the Republican Party, and they want to move into positions. So now they're going to play it the other way. You know, when they zag.
I think they double and triple down on the whole Democrats are the real racists, even though the Democrat Party of today is the most pro-black administration has ever been in the history of our country. It's such a stupid argument. They're the most pro-black administration in the history of our nation.
Oh, I know.
Calling them the real racists.
Well, my thing is, you guys, the blacks voted Democrat for the last 50, 60 years. Don't tell me you made this big transformation because of Trump. And by the way, it's no reflection upon Trump. Trump did the best that he could. He was sort of new to politics, but my thing is, him talking about the black vote did not secure his reelection in 2020, now did it? Now, that's a fact. I always say facts are stubborn things, and he touted all during the campaign trail that the blacks were going to save him and push him over the edge. The black, he kept touting the low black unemployment rate. And the blacks are going to come out and vote for me. Now, there were a lot of blacks that were pro-Trump. Yeah, there definitely were. And he did make some inroads in the black community. I give the guy a lot of credit for that. Because, you know, but my point is the blacks did not come out in millions and millions and millions and vote for Trump. The numbers do not say that at all. They still voted for Biden. So all this talk about blacks for two or three years in the Trump presidency, they still went out and voted for the Democrat again. The blacks did not have this. There was not some big surge of black votes for Trump. And my point to him would have been, you've been taking your time talking about this black vote thing the last 2 years of your presidency. And where did it get you, buddy? Where did it get you? Go ahead.
My opinion on that is that when you spent your entire 4 years talking about nothing but the black vote and black unemployment and black this, and you spent 4 years and you refused to say the word white one time, sure, you gained some inroads and you got some black votes. You increased your black vote. However, I can also say that I know several guys, I know thousands of guys on Telegram and Gab and different platforms that, okay, sure, you gained some black votes, but for every black voter you gained, you turned off 5 white male voters who are like, why the fuck am I going to vote for this guy? He didn't care about me. He just cares about the blacks.
I agree with you, and that's the backlash that Trump still has not computed in his head. He has still not done the math. He took the white vote for granted, and I warned them, don't take the white vote for granted. But all he talked about was the minority vote. This great red wave of minorities are going to come and save me, and that's why he always had minorities in the White House. My God, he was tripping over himself. Couldn't get enough in there. He couldn't have enough photo ops with, you know, a black rapper or a black superstar. and he kept talking about it. And it's okay to talk. Look, I get it. You're a politician. You want to get as many votes for as many subgroups in America as possible. Go for it and do it. But he did it to his own detriment. And I knew it was going to be tight in 2020. I never told people that Trump was going to win in some landslide like they had predicted. And I'll tell you this for the record again. There's not going to be a red wave. This red wave talk is also a bunch of BS. Oh, it's going to be a red wave. No, it's not. I have told people before it's going to be very, very tight. The Republicans will pick up a few seats in the House. They might win the Senate by one seat, maybe, but it's not going to be a tsunami red wave. See, these people are deranged. And Trump, you know, I wish the guy well. I really, really do. But my point is he spent – I would have told him as his consigliere, Mr. President, it's okay to market yourself to other groups, but don't waste your time, all your precious time, just doing that. That's all the hell the guy did last couple of years, to spend all his free time marketing himself to the minority community, which historically, I'll just tell it to Trump's face, they vote Democrat. They do not vote for Trump. Yes, you made some inroads. Congratulations, sir. But not enough to push you over the edge. And you compound that with a Democrat cheating, which got exacerbated, which I do believe they did cheat, my heart of hearts and mind of mine. I mean, all that combined, you lost the election. It wasn't enough, dude. It wasn't enough. So my point is, that's where you put yourself. Had you focused on other things, you might have won against Biden. And like he said, he might not have pissed off a lot of his base from 2016. You know?
Yeah. Well, I know you're still on time and you're in overtime, brother. So, yeah, I'll let you go here, man, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. I'll talk to you again soon, brother.
Yeah, I like talking to you too, Lincoln. Have a great night, man. Hail victory, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Hail victory, brother.
That was Lincoln from Flyover Country here. That was a very good spirited conversation. Look, you're going to hear the truth on my show, folks. I'm not going to candy coat it because it's Donald Trump or it's Biden. Everyone gets a fair shake. I'm very objective, right, left, and indifferent. I'll tell you, and I love to give credit where credit is due. If there are mistakes made, I will point out the mistakes of the Republicans or Trump. And we wish Trump well on my show. We support Trump. We supported Trump in 2016. If Trump runs again, I'll support Trump again. I will help him on the campaign trail. I will caution him to be a little more careful in his campaign approach because, as I've cautioned him before, which they did not listen to me, I said these minorities, though well-intentioned, many of them, and you made a lot of inroads, they do not come out in millions and millions to vote for you. And they haven't. The numbers have proven that. If you gain 1 million African-American votes, but you lose 2 or 3 million white European votes, you're not really gaining anything. You're losing traction. You're losing ground. And then you add in all the shenanigans of the election and the Democrat Party and the DNC, and now you're in Mar-a-Lago instead of the Oval Office. I rest my case. So I'll talk straight to anybody. We speak truth to power. Trump is powerful. I will speak truth to his power. He needs to hear these things. I know it's hard for him to listen to these things. He likes to always feel that he knows it all on the political front, but he could use some fresh advice. His advisors sucked in the last couple of years of his presidency. They gave him a lot of bad advice all through his presidency, in my view. He should have fired a lot of them. Put Von Wehunt next to him. I will show him the right path to be on. Stay on that MAGA path. Stay on the America First path. By all means, market yourself to everybody. But don't just focus like a laser on subgroups in America that have historically never voted in droves for the Republican Party. And why do you think you are going to change all their hearts and minds in a couple of years or 4 years? Ain't going to happen. And it didn't happen. So, in fact, I believe the African-American vote didn't go up too much barely a blip on the radar screen, not enough to push him over the edge. Well, we know that is the straight, honest truth. And we're so glad that everyone called in tonight. We have a big show every Thursday night. We hope everyone continues their July 4th celebrations. Celebrate the whole month. Why the hell not? You know, it's America's birthday. Look, we will be on next Thursday night. Some of you missed our Tuesday show. Remember, the first Tuesday of each month is the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy show. And we had a great time. Check out the podcast on that. And by the way, people are going to those podcasts like crazy, trying to listen to this show and that show, and everyone really enjoys the podcast as well. Well, folks, end of another illustrious broadcast night. My only regret in life is that you all don't have enough airtime, but we have to get the show a bit tighter, and we got a lot more callers, so everyone that does call in, we're not going to have the luxury, I don't think, going forward of giving everybody as much time. So get your points out fast and furious, and then we can lounge around because we have we're getting more and more calls, actually. I want to get more new callers on the show. We have some that drop off, and they don't call back. So we also want to get some new voices across America, too. So well, we don't mean to rush you on the air, but realize that it's a radio show, and we're always against the clock, as I've always said. So, Mr. and Mrs. America, before you vote in the next election, just know this, that the Democrats voted to fine Americans for not having health insurance. But instead, they wanted to give free health insurance to all the illegal aliens coming into America for free at your expense. We love you all from my mountain stronghold in Arizona. We wish America well. We wish our country well and our countrymen well. We know we have a lot of issues and problems. We will work through them as best we can. We thank you for all your cards and letters during the week. And keep those telegrams and cards and emails coming into the show. Love to hear from you all in real America. We thank you all. Good night. And before you go, we will play something for you from the Wild Angels 1968 biker movie.
Yeah, we don't want nobody telling us what to do. We don't want nobody pushing us around.
I apologize, but tell me. Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. We want to be free to ride. We want to be free to ride our machines without being hassled by the man. And we want to get loaded. And we want to have a good time. And that's what we're going to do.
Well, when, baby? Let's go.
We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a party.
Yeah! America, you're fantastic. Never forget that. Good night.